I appreciate that song. It's nice knowing He's alive. Amen. I serve a risen Savior. And I thank God for that. He's real. And He's real in my life. And I'm just glad to be here tonight. That song right there helped me out a lot in getting my heart ready to preach. And it gave me confirmation on the message. I don't typically do this, but I've been really torn about what to preach. And I had a hard time with it, praying, asking God, and I hear preachers say that sometimes, and I've never understood that, but I've been going through that here today. And I believed earlier today that I prayed, and I think I had the message the Lord wanted, and then He just confirmed that in my heart. And that was a blessing. I appreciate that. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter number 19. Acts chapter 19. I want to preach a message today on something that I know nothing about. To be honest with you, it's a subject that I know is necessary, and I've been praying for a while, asking God to help me learn how to lift up Jesus Christ. And I'll be honest with you, from a man's standpoint, that seems like an impossible task. I'm just a weak, sinful, frail human being. And you think about trying to lift up a holy God, a perfect God, a sinless God, an almighty God, the God that created heaven and earth and created every person in this room, and about the task of trying to lift Him up and magnify His name, that's no small task. So I've been studying my Bible and reading and trying to look for some things that talk about lifting up Jesus Christ. And I think I'm learning some things from the Scriptures. And I'm praying that God will use this tonight in our life. The book of Acts, chapter number 19, if you'll begin reading with me in verse 8. The Bible says, talking about the Apostle Paul here, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both of Jews and Greeks. And verse 11 says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul." Now, I'm a deep guy theologically, so here's kind of the way I look at some things. I got a note here in my Bible that says, "You ain't Paul." Amen. We live in a culture today, a religion, that we like to see miracles and signs and wonders and a lot of talk about miracles and all that charismatic movement. Listen, you and I aren't Paul. Amen. But God did work some miracles by the hands of Paul in verse 11. In verse 12, "So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus," now notice this, "whom Paul knoweth." Boy, that's a tip right there. Verse number 14, it says, "And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests which did so, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." That passage right there jumped out at me, that phrase. "And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed, and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God, and prevailed." If you would, please bow your heads with me and pray that God will use this passage of Scripture and the preaching of the word of God to magnify the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Lord, I ask you now as we get into the message, Father, I pray that you'd help us to hear the Word of God tonight. Father, I pray you'd help me to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in the heart of this church. Lord, the privilege it was today to go out with some of the men and to pass out tracts and to try to witness for the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank You for saving my soul. I thank You for giving me a call to preach. And Lord, I thank You for all that You've done in my life. Lord, I thank You for my church back home and the work that they were doing today. What a blessing that is to my heart. What an encouragement that is to me, Lord. Thank You, God, that Your work is not hinging on one person. And I thank You, Lord, for Jesus Christ and for all that He means to us tonight. God, I pray now tonight You'd help me to lift up my Savior. I pray, God, You'd help us to learn some things from this passage of Scripture that would help us, Lord, in a practical way to put to work what it is God has in this passage of Scripture in our lives. Help us, God, to learn some things and to act upon those things that we might see the Word of God grow and prevail in our day and age. God, that we might see the name of Jesus Christ magnified in our life. Father, I just would just quit right now. I'd just close this thing up and go home and forget about it. If I didn't truly believe in my heart and soul that I could see God work in my life and in my generation. And God, I beg You now tonight, I beg You, Father, please help somebody to get something tonight that they need. Father, help me right now, Lord, right now in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, God, the best I know how, I humble myself under Your mighty hand. And I ask You, Father, to help me and use the Word of God tonight to speak to hearts. If You'll do this, Lord, we'll give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory that You deserve. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Let me say tonight, by way of introduction, I desire nothing more in my life than to learn how to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. In a human nature, it's our nature to want to magnify our name and to be recognized and noticed. But let's say tonight, let's be honest, my name ain't worth magnifying. You know what? I come from sinful stock. I come from men who are sinners, and so do you today. There's only one name that's worth magnifying and lifting up, and that's the name of Jesus Christ. In America, we like to lift up our rock stars and our actors, and we like to lift up people and rich people and glorify a man and say, wow, you wouldn't believe what God did with this preacher or that preacher. And let me say, it ain't about the man. It's about the Savior. It's not about some guy and how great he is. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and how wonderful He is. I'm sad to say today that we don't see God moving like we used to. That's true in America. We do live in the Laodicean age. I believe that with all my heart. I was talking to some of the fellows today. I don't remember exactly who it was, but I do believe that any time now Jesus Christ is coming back. I believe any day now He's going to come, and the signs are there in America. The signs are there in our churches. But I do also believe that if we lift up the name of Jesus Christ, there's still something that'll get done. I see a few things here in this passage of Scripture. I see, number one, how the name was magnified. And I see, number two, what happened when it was magnified. I only have 2 points. That ought to make everybody happy tonight. There's about 37 some points under each, but there's only 2 points. Number one, how it was magnified. I've puzzled over that and pondered over that myself. And I remember when I was called to preach that, you know, I'd heard preaching my whole life, so it's easy to come up with all kinds of subjects to preach on. All kinds of things that we can think about that we think everybody needs to hear, and preach on those things. And God didn't open up a whole lot of doors for me at churches. I wound up preaching in nursing homes and jails and kept thinking, man, how in the world can I preach the same old thing, the cross? How can I preach salvation over and over again? And I got under conviction. I actually got under conviction about my inability to preach about Jesus Christ. We don't need to target and preach at all these other things. We need to lift up the Lord. And when we lift Him up, He shows us what we need to do in our lives. He points out the areas in my life that are displeasing to Him. And all the other peripheral things take care of themselves when we magnify the name of Jesus Christ. I want to learn how to magnify that name. So as I study through my Bible, I see some things that happen. First of all, I want to say this. I can't magnify His name. I'm a sinner. I'm not even worthy to speak the name of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that? That is a holy, sinless, almighty, perfect name coming out of sinful lips. My lips are sinful. My heart is sinful. I am wicked. Paul said, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." How can somebody that's got no good thing dwelling in them lift up the name of a holy Savior? We can't. But let me say, God Almighty can lift up the name of His Son. And it's God that does the work in lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. We can go out and witness all we want and preach all we want, but unless God Almighty lifts up that name, unless the Holy Ghost of God deals with the heart, they won't get it. I can preach till I'm blue in the face and pray all day and all night, but unless somebody is receptive and open to what God's trying to show them, they'll never get the message. Notice what Paul did. In verse number 8, it says he went into the synagogue. You know what Paul did? Paul went publicly preaching the name of Jesus Christ. He went out looking for some trouble. He went where they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They crucified Him. They rejected Him. And He went down into the synagogue to preach the name of Jesus Christ. He went out, the Bible says in verse 8, and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. He wasn't tiptoeing around. He wasn't nervous or worried or ashamed. He was boldly speaking the name of Jesus Christ. He marched right down into the enemy's camp, went outside the camp, like it says in Hebrews, bearing his reproach. I believe the reason we're failing in America, the reason our churches are failing, is because we're not bearing the name of Jesus Christ anymore. We come in here and we meet and we praise Him and we sing about Him and we exalt Him and praise God for that. We ought to. That's a great thing. And we like to lift up Jesus and talk about Jesus and magnify the name of Jesus, but I'm not really magnifying His name, my friend, when I sit here among friends and say amen next to you, when you're going to think, well, praise the Lord, God, Holy Spirit's blessing Mike tonight. I'm magnifying that name if I'm willing to go out into the enemy camp and lift up the name of Jesus Christ, whether they like it or not. You see, there's not a mean spirit there. There's not a controversial looking for a fight spirit. But there's a spirit that says, God told me to go do it and I need to go reach Him. If I really believe with all my heart that there's a literal burning hell that people will spend eternity in, and that there's a real Savior who came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary, then how can I be so calloused and cold-hearted as not to care about telling somebody else about Jesus Christ? We go to Bible school and Bible college and go through all the classes and learn this and learn that about how to witness. We have personal evangelism classes. And they teach you in school about how to build a bigger Sunday school. And what kind of clothes to wear and how to walk and how to carry yourself as the preacher and how to, you know, demand authority and all this kind of garbage. And let me say, friend, it's failing miserably all over America today. The whole mentality that we have about soul winning is failing miserably. We're not out trying to sell Jesus. I took 4 years of my life. God put me in professional sales, business-to-business sales. And they flew me through Atlanta, they flew me to L.A., they flew me to Hollywood, they flew me all over and sat me in front of some of the greatest teachers in America and spent just thousands of dollars setting us up to teach us how to sell people. And you know what I found when I was sitting there in class? Sounds a lot like what I learned in Bible school. How to sell Jesus. You ever walk up to somebody and say, do you realize you're a sinner? Well, most people that are honest are going to say, sure. You realize that sin must be paid for? Sure. Do you want to go to hell? I mean, somebody that's honest isn't going to say, well, yeah, that sounds great. I want to go to hell. Most people say, I don't want to go to hell. Well, say this prayer with me. Ask Jesus into your heart and you'll get a free ticket. And get Him to say the prayer. Close the deal. Hey, listen, friend, that's not the same as lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. Just because we learn how to pitch Him doesn't mean the Holy Ghost of God is bringing any conviction to the heart and Jesus Christ is being magnified and a new birth is being created in the soul of a man. This is business that's way above my head. I can't do it, but God will. You know what I need to learn how to do? Magnify that holy name. Paul went into the synagogues. He marched right out into the enemy camp. I heard somebody telling me today, was mentioning how a pastor is going to start Operation Jerusalem, I believe, or some mention of that. And going door to door, said, I've never been door to door before. And it's a little scary at first, you know. Be honest with you, it is. Every time I go out, my flesh hates it. I mean, just hates it. And everybody says, oh, that doesn't work anymore nowadays. You can't do that, brother. The JWs and the Mormons, they all go do that. And people are just going to think you're a JW. They're not even going to give you a chance. So I said, okay, we'll beat that. We'll wear blue jeans and t-shirts. And ball caps, and carry a Bible. We didn't even have to say we're not a JW. They don't dress like that. So we go out and knock on doors. You know what's amazing to me? It blows my mind. We go out knocking on doors and they come to church. What do you know? It works. We're not pitching anybody. We walked up to one door in South Lyon and we knocked on the door. And actually, before we got to the door, there's magic marker written on the door. It says, don't knock on this door unless you have a blankety blank gun. So I said, oh man, what do we do? And the guy that's with me, he's 50 years old. He'd been praying for 2 years for a King James Bible-believing church in South Lyon. Never knew me. I never knew him. He prayed for 2 years before we showed up that God would send a church to our town. I believe if I hadn't gone, God would have sent somebody else. I'm glad I volunteered. I'm glad I'm not missing out because God would have sent somebody. But he's with me. He says he's my bodyguard. And he's got a CCW, so he's always carrying. And pray for me because he's got one blind eye. God couldn't have sent me a bodyguard who's packing with two eyes, so it's a 50-50 chance I'm going to make it. But pray for me. So he said, preacher, I'm always carrying. I don't know nothing about it. He was a drunk up until about 3 years ago. He was a drunk, just an absolute drunk. And God got a hold of him through that eye. God put one of his eyes out. And he gave his life to God. And so he's serving the Lord. He doesn't know nothing about it. He's never door knocked in his life, scared to death going out with me. He's just as rough as a cob. And so he said, I always got my gun, preacher. God sent me here. You talk nice to him, I'll protect you. I'm the bad guy. I said, all right, that's fine. So we knock on the door. I figured he said it. He told me he has his gun all the time. So I knock on the door. I said, you got CCW, right? You got your gun. He said, I ain't packing today. I said, you ain't packing? What's this? You told me you're packing. All of a sudden, somebody in the trailer next door had been watching. The guy that lives there was in the trailer next door. He came running out, circled around the trailer, and he went, what? What do you want? Can't you read the door? And I said, I didn't know how to handle that. I said, well, it says unless you have a gun, and he's always packing, he's got a CCW. Of course, he forgot it today. And the guy just standing there staring at me. He just went, and then Dave says, preacher, roll up your sleeves and show him your guns. And he started dying laughing. Guess what? On Sunday, he walked in the door. There wasn't a sales pitch there. There was nothing I learned. Everything we did was the opposite of what Bible school teaches us to do. And he showed up. You know what we told him? We said, we want you to come to church. He said, I go to the Catholic church. We said, that's great. A lot of good Catholics go to hell. A lot of good Baptists go to hell. Why don't you come to the church and hear what the Bible has to say about Jesus Christ? He said, you guys are weird. I said, well, you are too, so you're going to fit. Come. And he showed up. He showed up. God has a way of magnifying His Son in spite of us. Hey, listen, don't let your fear of how people are going to react stop you from lifting up your Savior. Don't let your fear of how you're going to look stop you from lifting up the Lord. He went boldly into enemy territory and spoke about a Savior. Hey, I thank God that He's bigger than me and He's bigger than what I know. Said, I don't know how to talk to people. Well, that's great, but you know what? You're not supposed to talk to them anyways. The Spirit of God's got to do it. So just do what you know how to do and let God worry about it. Amen? Amazing to me what happens. Notice number two, he spake boldly for the space of 3 months. He wasn't timid and afraid and ashamed and nervous. And you know what we tend to do? I find myself doing it. At the restaurant, it comes time to pray, say grace. Okay, girls, bow your heads. Lord, bless us food and give us good day. Amen. Did anybody see? You know how ridiculous that is? You know what we ought to do? We ought to be bold for Jesus Christ. We ought to be willing to speak boldly. And he spake for 3 months. He didn't just go out one time and give it a try. Some of you probably have family members you've been praying for years. Don't give up on them. Keep praying. Keep witnessing. He spake boldly for the space of 3 months. This boldness was not an arrogant boldness. It was not I'm going to cram the Bible down your throat and I'm going to find everything you and I disagree about and that's what we're going to fight about. No, his boldness was in his Savior, Jesus Christ, in the personal relationship he had with him and in the desire to lift up his holy name. He spake boldly for 3 months. Notice something else. He disputed. Look at that. He disputed. You know, it boggles my mind how if you go out and you do street work, street preaching, you know who's going to give you the hardest times? It's Christians. Christians. Christians are going to be the ones that are going to say, you're just going to turn people off. You have a mean spirit about you. You shouldn't be doing it with such a mean spirit. I think it's a mean spirit to not want to go out and tell people where they're going to go when they die. I think it's a mean spirit to not witness, to not care. How is it that we can look at our neighbors and look at our friends and look at people we work with and not care where they're going to spend eternity? We care more about how we look than we care about where they're going to go forever. Do we believe they're going to spend eternity somewhere? I mean, do we really believe that? Do you really believe the people you work with? The dirty jokes they're telling that we're laughing at because we don't want to be the weirdo Christian. The people that we come face to face with are going to die and spend eternity somewhere. If we really believe that and don't do anything about it, that's a hard heart. That's a hard heart. He was willing to dispute. The Bible says that, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. You know, sometimes you can magnify the name of Jesus Christ by reasoning with people. We get caught in such a box on how to witness. I had a fellow call me a couple weeks ago on my way home. We had been out that day and putting tracks and cards on the door of some people in the neighborhood there, and I get a phone call on my way home. And the guy says, is this Pastor Michael Reagan? I said, yes, sir, it is. He said, you're the pastor of Bible Believers Church? I said, yes, sir, it is. I'm like, what is this guy's problem? He said, okay, let me tell you something, Bible believer. You Bible believers are a bunch of ignorant morons. And I said, whoa. I hadn't said a word to him. He wasn't there. We left the track on the door and we took off. I said, whoa. He said, do you not realize the Bible was written by illiterate men and for illiterate men? And I said, whoa, 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 wait a second, sir. I don't mean to be difficult. I said, but you just told me the Bible was written by illiterate men, men who can't read or write, for illiterate men, men who can't read or write. Now, does that make any sense at all? And he said, let me ask you a question, Bible believer. And I said, okay, sir, what do you got? He said, do you really believe Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt? I said, yes, sir, I absolutely do. He said, do you really believe it rained 40 days and 40 nights on the earth till God drowned the whole world? But Noah, the preacher of righteousness, built an ark, and so he didn't die because he was a preacher of righteousness and he built the ark? I said, yes, sir, I absolutely do. And that's why I want to be a preacher of righteousness, so while they're frying, I can be flying. Amen. He said, that is the most ignorant thing I ever heard of. I said, really? I said, my son, you know, sir, I don't mean to be rude to you, but it is unbelievable to me how bigoted and closed-minded you seem to be. He said, what? I said, you don't know me from Adam. You've never seen my face. You don't know what kind of a man I am. Just because you saw my gospel tract and my business card on your door, you're assuming I'm ignorant, illiterate, and that I'm a moron. I said, that is pretty closed-minded of you. I might be a really nice guy for all... I mean, I'm not, but I might be a really nice guy for all you know. And he said, okay, well, let me find a better way to say this. Let me find a better way to say this. Do you know how the Bible was written? I said, sir, you know as well as I do how the Bible was written. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You know how many years it was written over. And because I could tell this was a religious guy. And then he started going on and on about how he was a Roman Catholic and about how his education and how smart he was, and on and on and on he went. I said, sir, let me ask you a question. Where do you believe we came from? Where do you believe this earth came from? He said, oh, you want to go there? I said, yes, sir, I absolutely do. I asked the question, let's go there. Where do you believe it came from? He said, okay, I espouse myself, sir, to the theory of evolution. I said, sir, I absolutely commend you for being an extraordinary man of faith. It was silent. He said, what? I said, sir, I am a preacher of a Bible-believing church, and you have more faith than I have. He said, how in the world could you say something so ignorant? I said, because, sir, you weren't there when the Big Bang occurred. You weren't there when the tadpole crawled out of the mud and grew some legs. You weren't there when the monkey began walking upright. And you believe it all happened over millions of years. It's easier to believe a divine creator created this thing than it is to believe this could just happen. And he said, oh my goodness, you're an idiot. I mean, by this time, I'm laughing. And he said, if you knew anything, Bible believer, you would know that Jesus told Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And so if you're not a Roman Catholic, you're not even in the right church. You're going to hell. I said, folks, I promise you on my word of honor, I don't even believe in doing this. But I could not resist the temptation. Okay? I believe this book right here is everything you need. But I said, oh, sir, I went to seminary. And I said, in seminary, they taught us the original languages. And we learned in seminary that Peter means little pebble and Jesus is the rock. And he said, oh, you are so stupid. I said, why are you getting so mad? Because I know the original languages and you don't. Maybe I am educated and I still believe in Jesus. And he said, I'll have you know, I'm a 62-year-old practicing homosexual. What do you think of that, Bible believer? And hung up on me. Didn't even give me an opportunity to react, to answer him. You know what was getting at him? Funny to me, he knew all the passages of Scripture about judgment for that sin. Driving him crazy. Let me say, friends, disputing sometimes is kind of fun. I was looking for him Sunday, boy. I was looking for any guy walking in, kind of acting a little funny. I figured he'd be coming. Every guy came in, looked over 50. I'm watching. Say, where's he at? He didn't show up. I think maybe he might get saved someday. I couldn't resist the temptation. Obviously, we know, and I'll tell you the honest truth, I didn't even study the Greek word for Peter. I took the Greek classes and I heard the arguments and they've taught us in Bible college the original languages and how we can get some things out of the original languages we can't get from the King James. The real answers are right here in the English, amen? Right. I didn't believe in going there, but boy, it was fun. It appealed to my flesh. You know what Paul was willing to do? He was willing to dispute. You know, when I stand before Jesus Christ, if that joker is there, I'll be able to say, God, his blood, my hands are clean from his blood. I told him, Lord. You know what he is? He's under conviction. There's no reason that man would call me up and react like that other than the power of God's working in his soul. You know what we got to be willing to do? Lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Dispute a little bit. You know, serving God's fun. I spent 6 years of my life running from God, running from the call to preach, running from church, looking to have a good time out there in the world, trying it all, brother. Let's party. Let's try to get it on. Let's have a good time. One life to live, man. Live for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And I found nothing in the world that satisfied. But when I got right with God and sold out for Jesus Christ, it's been a wild ride, man. It's been fun. I have a lot of fun. I've learned how to have a good time serving Jesus Christ. You know, today was invigorating. Nothing that special even happened, but it was just invigorating getting out with a bunch of men who believe in God and passing out tracts. Hey, can I give you something to read? That's all. We couldn't pass them out. My fingers were sticking. I couldn't pass them out fast enough. And here we in the New York area. Oh, the people over there don't want to hear it. Hey, people are people everywhere, folks. He was willing to dispute for Jesus Christ. Notice something else. He was persuading. He was persuading. The Bible says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you. We beg you. We plead with you. We implore you. When's the last time we had a heart like that, that begged people and sought people as an ambassador for Jesus Christ to come to the Savior? He patiently waits. He'll save your soul from hell today. He'll give you a reason to live. He'll give you something worth living for. He was persuading them about the kingdom of God. Folks, our arguments for creation are much greater than what they're being taught in these public schools. They teach them about evolution. And they teach them that they came from whatever. They teach them there is no God. And our young people are miserable and depressed and discouraged. And they're messed up on dope and alcohol, hopping from relationship to relationship, trying every sin in the book. You know why? Because they need to be persuaded about the things of God. You know what we need to be persuaded of? The things of God. I'm sick and tired of hearing the stories about the old preachers and the great things God did back in the old days. Listen, thank God for those stories and the testimonies we can read. But what about my life? What about my day? What about my family? What about my church? What about my town? What about my heart? If God's still God and He hasn't come back yet, then why is it we aren't seeing more done for God than what we are seeing? It's because we become too religious and not enough in love with Jesus Christ, magnifying that name. That's a powerful name. He is disputing and he was persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And notice in verse 9, divers were hardened and believed not. Don't get discouraged when people don't believe. Because it was happening back there. None of us in this room are a tenth of what the Apostle Paul was. And he was preaching and some of them were rejecting. You know what we do? We focus on those that reject. We like to focus on the people that don't come and the people that turn a cold shoulder and the people that don't have time for God. And hey, listen, we don't need to focus on that. It's not my job to see them saved. It's God's job. It's just my job to preach. And when I preach, you know what happens? Some people get hardened. You know why? They don't want to hear from God. They don't want to face the fact that they're sinners. They don't want to realize there's a holy God they're going to answer to someday. So some people get hardened, but notice in verse number 9, they spake evil of that way before them. What did Paul do? He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one, Tyrannus. You know what we got to be willing to do? We got to be willing to cut loose, man. Hey, if I'm not going to try it, I'm not going to be able to persuade somebody to get saved if they don't want the Lord. If you don't want them, I'm moving on with my life. You know what Paul did? He took off. Amen? I tried picking up fishing this year. My brother-in-law is all over me about fishing and how I need to learn how to fish. And so I decided I'd go ahead and give it a try. I ain't a fisherman. I just don't have the patience, man. We went out one time and they were hitting, boy, and it was good. As long as they were hitting, I was happy. I'd stay there all day. But those other times, you go out with these guys and they'll sit there all day and just throw it again. Try. Good night, man. If they're not biting, let's go home. It drives me up a wall. Hey, listen, if they're not biting, don't worry about it. Go find somebody God is dealing with. God's dealing with people today. There's people out there right now who are saying, why am I here? Why am I alive? What's my purpose in life? Why should I even keep going? I want to kill myself. And they're asking God, if you're there, show yourself to me. You know what God's going to do? He's going to send somebody by their way. Problem is, the Christians aren't in tune enough with God to know who to talk to see God working. We had these young men in our church getting saved, coming to the Lord. You know what they are? They're the bottom of the barrel. They're the people we wouldn't even think would even be interested in God. You ask them, you say, does dope satisfy? They say, nah. Does boozing satisfy? Nah. Do you want more from life than what you got? I honestly don't even know why I'm here, preacher. I had a kid just tell me that. Preacher, I don't even know why I'm here. He said, it's the weirdest thing in the world. He said, I'm 19 years old. I got my whole life ahead of me. He said, I shouldn't feel like this. I said, like what? What's wrong? He said, that's the funny thing. Nothing's wrong. Why do I feel like this? Why am I even alive? I said, you know what your problem is? You need to get a hold of God. You need to get a hold of God. And he started crying. Started crying. The kid spent, since 13 years old, he spent almost all of his teen years in juvie. He started crying. He said, man, I'd love nothing more than to know why God made me. I said, let's take a look at what the Bible said. He got saved. Folks, there's people out there. I would never guess the kid would get saved. We were out in the trailer park passing out tracts, and we bumped into one guy that's been coming to church, and this kid had come by with him on a bike. And when he went by, the guy that had been coming to church had a laundry basket on his head, and he pulled it down over his face so we couldn't see him, but I thought I recognized him. And the kid that was with him cussed at us. He screamed a cuss word at us. And they went on by, and then the kid came back by again. He's a red-haired kid. He came by real fast down the road, and then the other guy came walking up. I said, what's your deal, Jeff? You didn't want him to know I'm your preacher, or what? You didn't want him to know you go to church with us? Just kind of giving Jeff a hard time, you know, and Jeff laughing. Well, sure enough, we turn around, and this kid's coming down the road, coming back towards us. And he said, don't even bother, preacher. Kid's a drug addict. He said, he'll never come to church. Don't even bother talking to him. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, just give up on it. I said, well, I don't know. I'll just give him a try. He walked up and I said, Jeff here said you're too scared to come to church. He said, what? I said, yeah, Jeff says you're too chicken to come to church. And I said, well, I don't know. I think he might be man enough to come one time. I said, are you man enough or are you chicken? He goes, I'll come. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'll come. I said, all right, if you're not there Sunday, I'm coming to get you. Where do you live? He told me where he lives. Big mistake. Sunday morning, he wasn't there. Told the song leader, I said, keep leading those songs, brother. I'll be back whenever I get back. I ran down to his trailer. His brother answered the door, who has now since gotten saved. His brother answered the door. He said, Jeff ain't here. I said, where is he? He said, I don't know. Chris ain't here. I said, where is he? He said, I don't know. I think he went over to Jeff's. So I said, all right, I'll go find him. So I went around walking all the way around the trailer park, and there's Chris sitting down there on a bike. And he saw me, and he ran. I came up to Jeff's house, and the bike was gone. The door was closed. The blinds were all pulled shut. And I'm thinking, hopeless case, man. This kid ain't going to come. And I'm knocking on the door. I'd like to tell you I was spiritual, and I knew he was I was frustrated. I had to preach. He's running from me. I'm knocking on the door. This guy answered the phone. Answered the door I never seen before. And I said, where's Chris? He said, he ain't here, man. I said, I was mad. Don't recommend this, okay? I said, don't you lie to me. I just saw him, and he ran in here. Go get him. And he went, all right. He went in the back of the trailer. He come out with Chris a few minutes later. Chris looked at me. He went, I said, come on, man. I told you I'm coming to get you once. Just come. You know what he did, folks? He went and he got his hat. He came outside and he walked to church with me. And he's been there every single week except once and wound up getting saved. You know what he did? He brought his 58-year-old drug addict mother. He brought his brother. His brother got saved. He's bringing his friends. The kid I told you about last night, Lefty. Chris brought Lefty. I mean, he's been one of the best witnesses we got back there. And he was a hopeless case. He's the kid that's standing there crying after coming for 3 months saying, I don't even know why I'm alive. What's my purpose in life? It is so heartbreaking to find young people in America ready to kill themselves because they don't even know why they're alive anymore. Don't even know about Jesus Christ. They live in America and don't know about Jesus Christ. This country was built on the Jesus Christ. It was built on this book. You know what's happened? We've dropped the ball. We've dropped the ball. He was willing to persuade and dispute. And when the ones that were hardened, he moved on. In verse number 10, it says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. You know what had happened? He stayed faithful and continued to preach and magnify and lift up and dispute the name of Jesus Christ for 2 years. And everybody had heard. But it doesn't look here like so far like anything big is happening. You know, we like to judge our work based on results. We like to judge everything we do based on results. It's not my job to worry about the results. It's just my job to lift up that name. He continued and he kept going. And notice what happens. What happens when the name of Jesus Christ is lifted up? First of all, in verse 13, the false religions of this world are exposed. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Paul, by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. But there are 7 sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? The man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. When Jesus Christ's name is lifted up, the false religions get exposed. I like that. You go and you knock on a door and you tell people about Jesus Christ, or you go preach on the street, they say, what church are you with? You say, my church doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know in about 2 seconds they can read you? Most people can read you. They know if you're sincere or if you're a fraud. They know if what you got is real or if it's fake. Do you know why they come back? Why they talk to you? Why it bugs them so much that you're a Christian? Because they know you got something they don't have. Only God can show them that. You know, we ought to be a little more confident in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We ought to be a little more confident. We ought to realize when we're witnessing and the people at work are rejecting, and when we're trying to be what we ought to be and it doesn't look like anything good is happening, and we're witnessing to our family and witnessing and praying to our family, and they keep on turning the cold shoulder and saying, don't bring that Bible in my house. Don't talk about Jesus anymore. We ought to realize, friend, that God is working even when we don't think He is. We ought to be bolder in the name of Jesus Christ than we are. people know if what you've got is real or if it's fake. No, I can't stand actors. And we all got a little hypocrite in us, amen? We'll say all the time, I don't want to go to church because all the hypocrites in church. Well, I then go to hell with the rest of the hypocrites in the world, amen? Everybody's hypocritical. But if what you've got is real, if what you've got is real, there's nothing to fear. We ought to be willing to stand up boldly in the name of Jesus Christ and say, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. He's moved into my soul. He's made a difference in my life. They can tell the difference. You know what? I think it'd be really funny to go into one of those conferences, you know, where they're casting out demons and healing people and all that stuff, and bring a true devil-possessed guy in there and say, all right, now go up there. Go on, go get him, boy. See, that's terrible. I know that's carnal. Forgive me. I'd like to see what happens. Come here. Oh, I'm going to catch these devils. And just watch him just rip the guy apart, take Benny Hinn's jacket and shred that white thing all over the place. Hey, you know what? There's something real about the name of Jesus Christ, and there's something phony about the fakes. They drive me crazy. What's that? A few years ago, one of them was talking about a 900-foot Jesus. If he didn't send him money, Jesus was going to kill him. Jesus showed up to him or something. Good night. I'd like to send him a note, you know, a bereavement note. I'm sorry to see you die. Please keep the cameras on this guy so we can watch when Jesus kills him. Sick of frauds and fakes. What we have is real. Listen, other Christians you might be able to deceive, but people in this world know if you're genuine or not. They know it. Notice these fellows are out preaching in a name that they didn't even know for sure. The evil spirit said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? I think we got a lot of Christians going around trying to profess the name of Jesus Christ and putting on, pretending like they got something in God and they're not even saved themselves. I believe there's a lot of preachers in America preaching in the name of Jesus and they don't even know Him personally. You know what we ought to do? We ought to make sure we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And once we know Him, be confident and strong in His name. I am not going to let the frauds rob me of an opportunity to witness. Just because the JWs are out there and the Mormons are out there doesn't mean I'm not going to go out with the truth. I had a guy where I knocked on doors. A guy saw us coming. He pulled the blinds, slammed the door. He locked it. I mean, we were just two doors away. So I went up and I knocked on the door. He didn't come. I kept knocking on the door. He wasn't coming. I said, come on, I saw you. I know you're in there. I'm not a JW. He cracked the blinds. He said, oh, okay. Opens up the door. I said, you thought I was a JW, didn't you? He said, yeah, man, they've been driving me crazy. I said, no, I'm a preacher from Bible Believers Church. He said, oh, come on in. I'm about to have a heart attack. I didn't know what to say. Okay, this was supposed to be difficult. Hey, you know, people realize there's a power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's a power in that name. When it's real, they also know when it's not real. You know, Jesus Christ can expose the false religions. He can expose them. Notice something else. The world takes notice when Jesus is lifted up. In verse 10, we read it already. All they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus. And notice in verse number 17, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks, also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. When they saw what the evil spirits did to the frauds, it scared them to death. You know what I love about the power of God? He takes negative things and uses them for His glory. I was reading over in the book of Joel, and it said, He said, I will restore unto you the wasted years. I like that passage of Scripture, brother. See, if we'll give it all to God today, if we'll magnify the name of Jesus Christ today, if we'll serve Him today, if we'll sell out to Him today, He'll take all the bad things in our past, all the blotches in our history, and He'll put those together and bring them back, put them in a big old melting pot of the grace of God, and pour out of that melting pot a vessel finer for His use than you ever were before. We like to go around licking our wounds and nursing our handicaps and looking at all our failures. And listen, I regret the time I spent away from God. I despise the attitude of, oh, I'll sow my wild oats and get right with God later. That's stupid. That is absolutely stupid mentality. Found out some young people are saying that in our church. Well, we'll just get right with God later. Hey, listen, that's a stupid mentality. If you're here today, you're young and you're saved, sell out to God right now. God will use your life. God will take you farther than you think you can go if you'll magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Notice these guys, the whole world took notice when Jesus was lifted up. Look at verses 18 and 19. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. You know what happened when Jesus Christ's name was exalted? The Christians got right. When Jesus Christ was lifted up, those that believed came and confessed their sins and sold out to God. What we need in our generation is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that the young people, the old people alike, realize their need to clean out all the dark corners of their heart, all the sin in their minds, all the sin in their soul, and say, God Almighty, I want to be meet for the Master's use, holy and prepared to God, so God can use me in my generation. I want God to use me, friend, don't you? What good is our life if it's lived and die without ever having seen God move in my life? I'm thankful for what God's done in other people's lives. Brother Sabaka is just a great testimony of what the Lord did here through him coming over here, starting to work, listening to some of you folks talk and the love you have for him. And hey, that's a great thing. But what good is it if from this day forward, some of the young people in this church don't catch that same vision? If some of the young people in this church don't sell out to God? If some of the young people in this church don't decide that they're going to get right and get clean, that God Almighty can use them in their generation here on Staten Island, here in our hometown, getting a hold of God and seeing God Almighty do something in our generation? I refuse to accept the mentality that says we as Christians are defeated. I refuse to accept the mentality that people don't want Jesus anymore. They never did want Jesus. That's why they crucified him. He can still save their souls if we'll magnify his name. I refuse to accept that mentality. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We like to talk about that every time the going gets rough and the devil rears up some opposition in the church. Oh, the gates of hell aren't going to prevail. When have you ever attacked somebody with a gate? It's not talking about hell attacking the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know what we're supposed to be doing? Going out there where they are, and some say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garment spotted by the flesh. If we'll get out there and magnify the name of our Savior, He'll work some miracles for us. It's a miracle that we have the building we have in South Lyon. An absolute miracle. They wanted about 3 times the money that we had in order to rent out that building. It's a nice building on a main drag, of just a ton of cars passing us every day. Beautiful building. I told the real estate agent they wanted about $4,000, $3,500, something like that. I told the real estate agent, I said, we got $1,100 a month and that's breaking the bank. I said, we'll give them $1,100 a month and we're going to do a 30-day lease, month to month. She said, you're crazy. I said, I know. I know. She said, just last week he turned somebody down for twice that much money on a 1 year because he wants a 2 year. She said, it's not going to happen. I said, well, if the Lord wants us to have it, it'll happen. She called me back the next day. She said, you're not going to believe it. I said, yes, I am, Jan. It sounds to me like you're not going to know. She said, he said yes. I said, sure he did. God wants us to have it. We've been there for over a year. We've expanded. We were renting just a couple of suites. Now we're renting the whole back half of a 10,000 square foot building. Same thing happened again. He said, okay, we're going to 2,200. I said, we don't have it. 1,750. He said, all right, give me 6 months. I said, nope, month to month. We don't want to lock in because we might outgrow that. Hey, listen, God's been working miracles in the recession. In Michigan, Michigan's number one in the recession. We are the worst state in America. We were going for 2 years before it hit everybody else. Guess what? God's working miracles in the worst time we've seen since the Great Depression. It just excites me. It just stirs me up from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. It excites me to see God doing something in my day. I quit my job in June. I quit my job and went full time during the worst recession since the Great Depression in the worst state in America. And God's providing the needs. You know what that is, folks? That's a real, live God who's alive today in my life, in our town, in our day. And it's an exciting ride. I thank God for His power. You know what Christians need? We need to confess our sins. We need to get our hearts cleaned and cleared out and sold out to magnifying the name of a Savior that's been so good to us. We don't need to worry about what's going to happen in the economy. What's going to happen with our jobs? What about our retirement accounts? Listen, don't worry about all that stuff. Magnify Jesus Christ and watch what He does for you. Listen, I can say that in humility because I'm the biggest worrywart you've ever seen in your life. I'm just a worrywart. I worry from the sun goes up to the time the sun comes up to the time the sun goes down. It's a struggle for me. And God takes care of it. That's a blessing, man. Notice in verse number 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. When Jesus Christ is magnified, you know what happens? This book grows and it prevails. You know what the Bible says right here, that it prevailed. You see that? Notice the same word was used back up here in the text. I believe it was about the evil spirits here that they prevailed in verse 16. They overcame them and prevailed against them. But when Jesus Christ's name was magnified, the Word of God grew and the Word of God prevailed. This Friday, we're going to be starting a program we've called Overcomers. A guy in the church, he came in. He's a heroin addict. He came in. He said, "Preacher, I've tried all the rehabs. I've tried all the AAs." He said, "None of them are working." He said, "Is there any way you'd start like a God-centered AA?" He said, "Because I know the only chance I have of ever beating the addiction is through God." 35 years old. I said, "Brother, for 3 months I've been wanting to do something like that, and I've been praying about it, and I'd love nothing more than to start something like that. You pray for us, if you would, please." Today, our young people were out passing out flyers for the Overcomers program. And you know what the message is going to be in that program? The Word of God can cause you to prevail. The Word of God can bring the victory. The prevailing is through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Word of God. When Jesus Christ is magnified, when Jesus Christ's name is lifted up, the Word of God becomes more real in our lives. God speaks to our hearts directly out of this book. This Bible has some power. About two and a half years ago, we've been where we're at about 2 years, so about 6 months before that, I had a church call. My pastor actually had a church call, ask if he had any young men to candidate, so they asked us to come candidate. And we went down, it was in Kentucky. We drove 150 miles down Mountain Parkway to get back to this church. And I am not cut out for a country like that. I can't stand it. We were getting panic attacks getting in and getting out of that place. It's just terrible. But my heart just broke for the people when I got there. And I was praying. When I got back home, I was praying, and we were going to go. They were begging us to come. We were going to go. Our heart was broken for them. And I sat down and opened up my Bible in my lap, and I said, "God, I don't want to make another mistake. I've made some big ones before, and it's cost me a lot. And God, I don't want to make another mistake. I got one wife. I got children. I don't want to mess up what I got. God's given me a lot. God, please don't let me do the wrong thing." And I open up that Bible. I'm spiritual, so I'm in my recliner with my feet up and my coffee next to me. That's the way I read my Bible in the morning. I opened up my Bible in my lap, and I was reading down through there, and it said, "Under the cities and the mountains thou shalt not go." In a direct answer to a prayer I just asked, God said, "Under the cities and the mountains thou shalt not go." And I just had a peace flood over my soul. I got down on my knees. I started crying. I said, "God, thank you for showing me what you want me to do." Do you know the Word of God can help us prevail in our life? I don't care what kind of addiction you got, what kind of sin you got, what kind of direction you need, what you're looking for in your life, the answers are all in that book. I thank God I've got a perfect Bible right here. Right here. You know why I believe in the Bible that they're translating? They're translating it directly from this book. This is the Word of God. This Bible can bring us in our life to a place where we can prevail in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I'm more than a conqueror this morning. I'm glad I don't have to preach my church, my religion, my rules, my denomination. I'm glad I don't have to argue my belief system and my viewpoint. I'm glad I've got a name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus Christ. That's almighty. It's all powerful. It's able to save them to the uttermost that call on Him. And I'm glad I've got a book in my lap today that can guide and direct every step of my life. I want to learn by the grace of God to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. And I want by God's power to be able to get everything out of my life that would come in the way of me and Him. Me and Him. Me and exalting that name. And me and this book. I stand before you today a very sinful man. Just as sinful as you. We're all sinners. But God Almighty can and will do amazing things with every life in this room if we will just give ourselves wholly to exalting the name of Jesus Christ. I mean every motive, every thought, every desire abandoned to exalting the name and magnifying the name of Jesus Christ. I believe we'll find a power and a strength in our life and a purpose for living and a purpose for our generation that God Almighty will do great things with if we'll just clean up our act and give ourselves to Him. There's not a Christian alive today that can possibly be happy. That's a bold statement. That's an all-encompassing statement. But I stand by it. There's not a born-again Christian today that can possibly find real joy in their life without getting a hold of God and magnifying the name of Jesus Christ. You see, when you ask Jesus Christ to save your soul from hell, when you were born again, you did something to yourself you didn't realize you did. Amen? You know why I can say that? Because I tried. I tried running from Him. I tried finding joy and power in this world. I've tried the drugs. I've tried the alcohol. I don't say that in any kind of pride or to exalt that one little bit. But I tried it. And then the devil, I believe, brought into my way, maybe it was the Lord to test me, a good career. I shouldn't have ever had the job I had. A good career, good money, staying in apartments in Hollywood, California that are bigger than my house. And just the fame and the power and the money of this world. You know what I learned? Not a lot, but I learned one thing. A pig in a tuxedo isn't any different than the pig that lives in the gutter. That's true. The pig with the money is no different than the pig who's begging for a dime. You know what we all need? We all need Jesus Christ. Money ain't going to help you. Fun ain't going to help you. Partying ain't going to help you. All you're going to do is bring pain and sorrow and remorse into your life. But exalting that name, that'll bring some power into your life that'll blow your mind. God wants to do some things with people sitting in this room. God wants to do and can do great things if we'll just resign ourselves to Him, take our hands off our life, and say, God, whatever it takes, help me to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would take this feeble attempt at preaching and exalt Your Word. Exalt the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, help us tonight to leave here changed and better and different because of the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, help me somehow in my life, God. I pray that You'd help me to learn to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that is such a huge thing to even say. The lips of an unclean man saying something that huge. But God, I believe in the power of the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, the power of our Heavenly Father to lift up the name of His Son. And Lord, I want to be a servant of God who's been changed by Jesus Christ and who's been right with God and put myself in a position, Lord, to allow God to do something with my life. Father, if You'll do that, I'll give You all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. I'll lift up the name of Jesus Christ and exalt Him. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight to be right with God. If anybody's here, Lord, and they're not right with God, help them to get right tonight, Lord. Help them to clean up their life tonight. Help them to clean up their act and to sell out to God and to see what God Almighty will do with their life. Lord, anybody who's here and is right with God and is doing the best they know how to serve Him, Father, stir up their heart in love for the Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify His name and to speak out for Him. Lord, if you'll do these things, we'll give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?
Amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed for a moment here before we dismiss the meeting. The message is very clear and plain, and I know it was a blessing to you, and I know God had to have spoken to your heart tonight. And whatever the Lord may have dealt with you about this evening, I just wonder, it's mostly here our own people tonight. I don't even know if we have any visitors this evening, just our own folks here. And what a great message and a great reminder to us. We want to be used of God, and this is the way to do it. Get our hearts right. Get clean. Watch the way that we try to communicate the gospel to the people around us. It's not pushing our church. It's not pushing our lifestyle, the Christian lifestyle. It's just simply lifting up Christ. It's so simple. It's so simple. And it's true what Mike said. You're never going to be happy until you're doing that. Until your life is fulfilling that purpose. Some people live to eat. Some people live to shop. Some people live for sports. That's what excites you. Some people live for all kinds of things. Their heart, their desires are fixed on things other than just simply being the testimony and the witness that you can be wherever you find yourself. That's what I hope we'll always be known for in this church, as that kind of a crystal clear witness for Jesus Christ, lifting up His name. Maybe there's something here tonight that God spoke to you about. I don't know, but if there is, perfect time right now before we go home. Get it right. Get it clean. Settle it with God. Don't delay. Don't be embarrassed. Don't think this was for the other person. Just pretend this message was just preached just for you tonight. Just pretend you're the only one that was sitting in the chair and it was all for you. You can't tell me that none of it hit home somewhere. You can't tell me that none of it applied. You'd be lying to God. You'd be lying to me. Just say, none of it applied to me. Wow, I sat here and none of it applied to me. It was all for someone else. And if it applied, what will you do about it? Will you let God have His way? Will you make a thing right in your life? Will you dedicate yourself more? Maybe you haven't been serious about the way you've been serving God. Maybe you've been more serious about a lot of other stuff in your life and not about the way you serve the Lord. Whatever it is you need tonight, we're going to sing a song before we go home. But before we leave this place, I hope and I pray that whatever your need is in your life, you'll just settle it tonight with God. All right. Father, we do thank You for the message tonight. What a blessing it was. What a reminder to us. Just the simplicity of Paul's methods. There was nothing complicated about what he did. There was nothing difficult other than the things he faced by the power of God, but simply preaching Christ. Just the preaching of the cross, the lifting up of that wonderful name, the telling the story of Calvary. Lord, what a privilege that is that we have, Lord, to tell that old story. And Father, help us to love it more, to tell it more, to have the kind of boldness that we saw tonight in Paul's life, to have the kind of faithfulness to keep telling that story through thick and thin, even when sometimes our own hearts are breaking or there are trials or whatever the problems might be that we're dealing with. Just help us to remember, Lord, this world is hurting too. And they need to hear about the Lord Jesus. Give us the boldness that we need, Lord. Help us to be ready to dispute in the right way with those that would contend with us. Not to be contentious, Lord, but just to stand by the truth and not to run away when confronted. Lord, help us just to have that Spirit of God's power, the Holy Spirit power, to be able to persuade men, to be able to bring men to a decision, even if it's a decision to reject the gospel and spin on a track, it's a decision. And Lord, you would have men be hot or cold. And Lord, the gospel makes men that way, forces them off the fence. And Lord, just help us, use us. And Lord, let this message tonight, Lord, produce the fruit that you desired it to produce. You had each one of us in mind, something in our heart, something in our life that you were aiming at tonight, Lord. And Father, I just pray that it didn't fall on fallow ground here. But Lord, just let it bear the fruit that you intended. Fix up hearts here. Strengthen the believers here tonight. Somebody here needed something in their life, needed to repent of something. Lord, I pray it gets done tonight. Maybe it already has throughout the course of this meeting. Lord, but may your will be done right now. Before we go home, Lord, settle that thing in somebody's heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand together. We're going to sing a song before we go. What number, brother?
Stand together and find your hymnal. 393 in your hymnal.
393. We're going to be dismissed. The only thing I need now is just to meet with those guys that are going to help with the tables and chairs.